If you have a Bible, open it up to 13, chapter 13 of Proverbs, and follow along with me with your Bible open if that's possible. These studies are much more profitable if you can follow along and see what the Word of God says for yourself. Well, let's begin with prayer as we always do. Father in heaven, we pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will today in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live a life that is pleasing to you, glorifying to you, bearing fruit in every good work, and always increasing in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Proverbs 13, verse 1 says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke." Now, it is very wise for a son to listen to a godly parent, a godly father. In human relationships, that's very important. How much more important is it for us to follow the leading of our Heavenly Father, to listen to Him? And it certainly is. In order to be used by our Heavenly Father, we must first heed our Heavenly Father. In other words, we must listen to Him, which is what verse 1 is talking about. It is very wise. It is very important for all Christians to hear from God the Father, to listen to what God has to say, to take the time to listen to what God has to say and learn from God through His Word before we attempt to speak out for God. Verse 2, "From the fruit of his lips a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence." Notice what it says. From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things. The fruit of your lips would be your words. If you speak good words, you will enjoy good things. And, you know, if you speak the Word of God to people and they apply it, they will be blessed. For sure, they will be blessed. But not just them. You will be blessed also when you see how the Word of God that you shared with them worked in their life to make their life better than what it otherwise would have been. Verse 3, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Some people just talk way too much. How many times have we seen this, actually, in the book of Proverbs? How many times has God said this in one way or another? Just limit your words. Don't talk too much. You're just going to get yourself into all kinds of trouble. That's a fact. God wants us to be careful not to speak too much. Be slow to speak, the Bible says, and quick to listen. But don't speak too much. And that's because everybody says things that they shouldn't say sometimes. And the more you talk, the more likely you're going to say things that you're going to regret. The less words you speak, the less words you will regret saying. So it just makes sense to limit your words and be careful. Be very careful about the words that you do speak, because there are also people out there who will use your words against you, twist the meaning of your words, and use it against you. Verse 4, "The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." The sluggard, or the lazy person, craves but doesn't get anything. Well, desires without hard work won't amount to anything. And that's why God says what He says here. I mean, you can wish that things were different all day, every day, but they're not going to be different unless you work for them. Unless you prayerfully work at making them different, they're not going to change. That means being diligent. It means working hard even after the newness has worn off. Even after working hard becomes old and stale and monotonous, it means persevering. Look at verse 5. "The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace." The righteous hate what is false, meaning the righteous hate lying and the righteous hate deceiving. They hate deception, they hate lies, because God hates deception and God hates lies. Never, ever should any Christian ever lie or use deception, period. No Christian should ever lie or deceive, no matter what the consequences of being truthful may be. A Christian should never lie or deceive in order to avoid those consequences. We can never advance in our faith by being deceitful. It's not of God. Verse 6. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Wickedness overthrows the sinner. You've heard that God will judge sinners? He will in eternity. But in this life, wickedness is the thing that overthrows the sinner. An evil person, in other words, is walking on thin ice, constantly walking on thin ice. And that's because sooner or later, their wickedness, like God says here, overthrows them. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. The next step they take, the next sin they commit, the next word that they speak could be the one that causes them to crash through the ice and be overthrown by their wickedness. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. 7. One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. And there are a lot of people who have money today. I have heard that there are more millionaires today than ever. I guess it's even getting to the point where some people think it's not even a lot of money to have $1 million. Well, it'd be a lot of money to me, I guarantee you that. But many people have a lot of money today, and for that reason they have great purchasing power. They can buy a lot of wonderful things. They can buy a great home. They can buy a fantastic vehicle. They can go on expensive vacations. Lots of purchasing power. They are very wealthy. However, many of those people are spiritually poor. They don't have the purchasing power to buy peace. And they don't have the purchasing power to buy joy. And they don't have the purchasing power to buy forgiveness of sin. And they don't have purchasing power to buy life everlasting either. And so it appears like they are rich, but they are in reality very poor. And that's what happens when one spends their time accumulating material wealth, but ignores their need for true riches. Verse 8, a man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. God says, well, you know, if you have a lot of money and somebody kidnaps you, then your family can pay him off, pay the ransom and save your life. But God says, a poor man hears no threat. And so, in a way, it's kind of nice being poor because you don't have to worry about the things that the rich men worry about. Rich people are often threatened by those who want to take their money in some way. And so sometimes they are the victim of blackmail, sometimes they are victim of kidnapping and all the violence that goes along with things like that. But no crook would ever waste their time harming a poor person if nothing to gain, you know. Poor person doesn't have to worry about that sort of thing. Verse 9. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. The light of the righteous shines brightly. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to walk into a room facing the south that has a lot of picture windows and maybe some skylights. Man, that is just, I would love to have a room like that. Would that ever be great? It just does something, perks you up, doesn't it? When you walk into a situation like that. Well, look what God says. The light of the righteous shines brightly. In other words, the good life of a righteous person is a living testimony. And being around them brings joy, sort of like stepping into a big room that has lots of picture windows and lots of skylight. You just feel, there's just something intrinsically good about that person that makes you feel good, too, to be around them. 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. A pride person won't take advice. A prideful person will not take advice. And that's why God contrasts the two right here in verse 10. A prideful person is a Mr. Know-It-All. Thank you, Mr. Know-it-all. Man, they know everything about everything. You know, you can't tell them anything. A prideful person, well, their pride keeps that person, their pride keeps them from even considering the possibility that they may be wrong about something. It is hard to get along with somebody like that. Nothing good ever comes from that kind of sinful pride. It only causes strife and quarrels, stirs up trouble between people. 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Dishonest money dwindles away. In other words, wealth that comes without work will slowly but surely slip away, says God. Wealth that comes from honest work will no doubt come slower, but God says it will accumulate. It will not dwindle. Verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Stop right there for a second. Boy, that's a fact, isn't it? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You plan on something happening, and it doesn't happen. And so you plan on something else happening, and that doesn't happen. And after a while, that really can kind of make your heart sick. It can be a discouraging thing. High expectations that repeatedly are postponed or repeatedly missed entirely can really be a discouraging thing for a person. And so it says, heart or hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. In other words, when your desire at last comes to pass, there's going to be great happiness and great satisfaction. And oftentimes, those former times of waiting and disappointment are totally forgotten because of the joy that you feel when it has come to pass. 13. He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. Now, this is true in our human relationship. If you scorn instruction from somebody who knows better than you or somebody in a position of authority, that will not be a good thing. It's like God says, he who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. That's true in our human relationships. How much more, again, is that true in our relationship with Almighty God? Rejecting the Word of God or accepting the Word of God is really not a matter of personal preference. Oh, you have the free will. But that free will comes with consequences, good or bad, depending on how you respond to the Word of God. Our attitude toward the Word of God is a matter of life and death. Reject the Word and you commit spiritual suicide. Reject the Word of God, you commit eternal suicide, and you find yourself in the flames of hell forever if you reject what the Word says about the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore don't receive Him into your life as your Lord and Savior. 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. The teaching of the wise would be a reference to the Word of God. It says that it's a fountain of life. When I saw that phrase, fountain of life, I actually thought of the tree of life. The tree of life was a special tree in the Garden of Eden that would enhance the life of Adam and Eve in some way. And actually, the tree of life is found again in the book of Revelation. And it will, once again, enhance the life of people who are in heaven. Somehow, some way, the fruit from that tree will enhance our existence and our new bodies on the new earth and in the new heaven. And so that's the tree of life. God's Word is referred to as the fountain of life. And that's because it enhances our life here and now if we read it and if we do it. 15. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Good understanding wins favor. A person who has good understanding is admired. And because it's such a contrast to the way most people are today, there are so many immature knuckleheads in the world who call themselves adults, but they may be adults in age, but they are not adults in wisdom. There are so many immature people like that in the world that a man with good sense is really appreciated. 16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. Notice that. A prudent man will act out of his knowledge. In other words, you're going to see that he is a prudent man by how he acts, but also a fool exposes his folly. How would he do that? By how he acts, by what he says. You ever hear somebody say, so-and-so is really a jerk. That guy, he is really a bad person. He is so mean in what he says and what he does sometimes. But that's just the way he is. That has never made sense to me. But that's just the way he is. The guy's a jerk. He's a bum. He hurts people's feelings. He does mean things. But that's the way he is. Like, oh, that makes it okay. Like, we should be accepting of it then? And that makes it just fine? I've never understood that. It doesn't make sense to me. I always want to say, you're right. That is the way he is. You bet he is that way. It's because a person acts, how a person acts reveals what they really are. How a person acts reveals their character. Conduct reveals character. 17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. When it talks about messenger and envoy here, it's talking about a representative or an ambassador, you might say. If you ask someone to be your representative, or you want somebody to be your spokesman, well, you want to make sure that they will act and speak as you want them to act or speak. Otherwise, that's not going to reflect very well on you. If they're your messenger or they are your spokesperson, you don't want them to misrepresent you in any way. And if they don't conduct themselves well, that reflects badly on you. And so that's what this verse is teaching. And you know what? The Bible says that Christians are ambassadors for Christ. Like it or not, believe it or not, if you are a Christian, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ here on this planet. He's up in heaven. He's going to come back, but he's up in heaven right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. You are his representative. You are his ambassador to planet Earth. And if as a Christian you're not living holy, then, well, that reflects badly on Christ. 18. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. You ignore discipline, which is teaching, correction. The Bible says you're going to come to poverty and shame. If you heed correction, you're going to be honored if you do that. If a person fails to learn, if a person refuses to learn or refuses to listen to instruction and is just plain unteachable, well, that person's going to have a lot of problems. They're going to flunk out in school. They're going to fail at any job that they ever have if they have that kind of an attitude. You just can't get ahead. You just cannot prosper if you're not willing to learn from those who are more experienced than you are. Verse 19, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, and it comes about as a result of perseverance. That continual hard work in doing good, and your longing will be fulfilled. But the flip side is fools detest turning from evil. And you know, both of those people in this verse, the fool and the good person, have something in common. It's their perseverance. One perseveres in doing good, one perseveres in doing evil. Good people pursue good goals, just like sinners pursue their sin. And neither one of them are quitters. It's just that one will gain blessing and the other one will gain trouble. 20. Verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And you know what? This is something that is taught from cover to cover in the Bible. This principle that we see right here. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffer harms. Man, if anything is taught in the Scripture, it is that a person becomes like the people that they spend time with. That's why parents need to be careful who they let their children hang out with. Who's your daughter going out with? Who's your son going out with? You know, what kind of people are they hanging around with? Because you become like the people that you hang out with. It's going to rub off on you. God warns us about that over and over again. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference either if you spend time with them in person or if you spend time with them through a book or through television or through radio or through computer or what. It doesn't matter. You will become like the person you spend time with. It's going to rub off on you. That's why if you spend time reading the Bible and in that way spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you spend time watching the video Bible or spend time with Christians who love God, you're bound to become more like Jesus because that will rub off on you. And if you waste a lot of time watching television, if you watch television or you watch movies where godless ways are acted out, it's the same as being with those type of people in person. Doesn't matter one bit. The evil penetrates your soul, and it will affect you in one way or another. It will affect you. Maybe at first it'll be so subtle you won't even notice it, but it will affect you. It'll affect your thinking. It'll affect your morals. It'll affect your conscience, and that will lead to it affecting your words and your actions as well. 21. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. Misfortune pursues the sinner, the Bible says. Is the pull of sin so strong that people will pursue it, even though it results in physical problems? Is the pull of sin such a strong thing that people will pursue it, even though it results in a bad reputation or loss of family or loss of possessions, and sometimes loss of life, not to mention loss of soul? Is the pursuit of sin, that pull of sin, so strong that it will cause a person to follow it, even though it has all these negative consequences? I guess so, because it sure happens. But God warns us about it right here. He warns us in advance not to do it. 22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Now, do not misinterpret this. God is not saying that if you're wealthy, you are automatically godly. That's not what this is talking about. You know what? Back in the Old Testament days, when God was dealing with the nation Israel, in the Old Testament, material blessings were actually a sign that God's favor was on Israel. It was a sign that Israel had been obedient to God, because God said, if you are obedient to me, I will bless you materially. And so in the Old Testament, it was a pretty good indication. Prosperous times likely meant that people were living for God. Today, though, God has not promised that sort of thing to Christian. Today, if you are saved, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you may not be able to leave a rich material inheritance to your children, but you will leave a rich spiritual inheritance for your children, and that is even better. If you are saved and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can leave your children a knowledge of God's Word. You can leave your children a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can leave your children a holy life, an example of a holy life that you lived. That's a rich spiritual inheritance. Of course, it's up to them if they are going to take advantage of it and follow your example. But you can at least give them that opportunity. 23. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. And God is saying, oftentimes, honest, hard-working, poor people have their earnings taken away from them because of some injustice in the political system, or because they are abused in some way by those who have the power to do it. And God doesn't condone it. He's not in favor of it. But he wants everybody to know that he knows it's there. He sees it. And you know, if God sees something, he's going to do something about it eventually. 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. I don't care what the child psychologists have to say. And I don't care what the teachers have to say. And I don't care what the social workers have to say. It does not matter. Not if what they have to say contradicts in any way what God says to us in His Word. God knows a whole lot more about raising children who He created than some social worker or some teacher or some psychologist. And I don't care what they may say, if you don't discipline your children, and sometimes that means a spanking, if you don't discipline your children when they deserve it, you are likely going to end up with a brat. You hate your child if you don't discipline them. That's what God says. And no, God does not condone child abuse. He makes that very clear. Jesus said it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and be thrown into the water than to hurt one of these little ones. So God does not condone beating a child, child abuse. No way. But if you let your children get away with being bad, you are hurting them in the long run. You're not doing them any favors. You certainly aren't being loving toward them. 25. We stop right here. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. And God promises to meet the needs of His people who put Him first. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, God's righteousness, all those other things will be added unto you. He promises to meet your needs if you are a Christian who puts Him first. But God has made no such promise to you if you have not repented and made Christ your Lord and Savior. And He has made no such promise to you either if you're a Christian who is not putting Him first. If you are not a Christian, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. This is your opportunity to become one. This is your opportunity to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. If you want to do that, pray with me right now and ask Christ to come in and take control of your life. Now, I know many of you are watching this right now and you're thinking, yeah, one might have an eternal life, but I don't want Jesus to have control of my life because there are some things that I want to keep doing. Well, there are no plan Bs, so the choice is totally yours. But just remember, if you die without Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior, you will burn in hell forever. Jesus said that. So are you ready? If you are, pray with me. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sin. I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Take control of my life and wash away my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.